As the Browns wrap up the season this weekend against the Steelers, defensive coordinator Ray Horton is confident that a solid foundation has been laid for the defense to improve on.
First off, I'd like to thank you guys for your professionalism. You guys really do have great, poignant questions, and they're always on point and on task, and they're thoughtful questions. So I'd like to thank you guys for the season.
Question eventually. You're focused on Pittsburgh, obviously, but now everybody's wondering about next year. And the question would be, how much got installed this year, and how much will this year's install benefit next year?
Throughout the year, we installed everything, but we didn't call everything. And so and you'll probably hear potentially on your questions the word foundation. I think the foundation's there. I really do. Schematically, it is player involvement, player knowledge, scheme, technique. It's there, but we didn't open up the drawer and use everything that we have. And so I think going forward, guys will be a lot more comfortable with how I call a game, and I definitely am more comfortable with what they do and how they do it. So we'll definitely expand on the package and do more things next year. We didn't call everything that we had.
Ray, I was looking at some of the numbers that your defense produced in Arizona last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I assume that your scheme is similar, at least, if not identical.
Mm-hmm.
Can you compare the personnel you had to work with last year to what you have this year?
Well, that was going to be my response in anticipation to your question. It's hard to do that because they're different people. And you try to plug the right people into the right places. And, whether it's really on our team or you're comparing quarterbacks, I think it's a disservice to the people in Arizona or the people here in Cleveland to say, well, this guy is that guy and vice versa. Each team and guy and unit is they're separate entities. They're individual players. So what we try to do is call and dictate and install to each guy's strengths and understand what weaknesses are and try to get away from those, meaning call games away from that.
But just to follow up, and then your defense in Arizona last year allowed 61 points in the fourth quarter, and that's really good. But 142 this year. So mm-hmm. Can you just say what happened? Why you're so good in the fourth quarter last year and this year?
Probably different personnel. We played almost the identical schedule at different times. We played the NFC North and the AFC East, so there was a lot of common opponents there, with the exception of the AFC. It's always a different season, different year. Things happen. People change. The teams you play, whether it's the East has changed their personnel. So has the AFC, the NFC North. So it's not easy to say, well, compare everything and it's all the same, because it's really not, because this is a different team than the team I was on last year, and New England was a different team than they were. So I wish you could just go back and say, hey, call the same thing you called in that game and it'll work, because it worked there, but it doesn't work that way. And I think each year is different, because everybody's roster is not totally different, but everybody's roster is different. Nobody's roster is exactly the same.
Usually there's a correlation between making the playoffs and lack of injuries. Most of it. Is it as simple as say that the problem on defense has been the injuries? In other words, you guys wore down a little bit?
I think that's the easy way out. And I go back and look at statistical years, anomalies. The Green Bay Packers a few years ago, I believe, 11 starters, I think, some number like that, and they went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. So I think that's an easy way out to say, oh, well, we're hurt or blah, blah, blah. But the guys that are on the field want to be on the field. We expect them to be on the field. We expect them to play at a winning level. And so I'm not going to take the easy way and say, yeah, injuries, because it's been done where people overcome injuries.
What was your greatest disappointment about the defense this season?
It was probably, and this is the truth. I've been thinking about this for a week. I'm really disappointed that I didn't do a better job of helping our team win more games. You look back at the season, and right now, eight wins would get you into the playoffs. Miami's at 8-7, and Pittsburgh's at, 7-8 with a chance. You know, they need help to get into the playoffs with 8-8. And I am disappointed at I didn't get our guys, my guys, better equipped to finish, whether it's the fourth quarter or however that comes out, because we didn't finish, and that falls on my shoulders.
What do you think you could have done differently?
Well, you know, first thing, you know, you look at after the season, you look at your calls, you look at the matchups, how can I affect the game? And, you know, I'll go back and look and say, well, should I have pressured more? Should I have pressured less? Should I put somebody in? Should I have called a different defense? Should we have done something different? And those would be things, you know, when you get back and get a chance to step away from the emotional part of it, look back and go, what? And I think everybody, I hope everybody does that. You know, I'll challenge our players to sit back and look at their season. What could they have done? Because as you're well aware, we've had some chances in the fourth quarter to swing games, and we didn't. So that to me is my burden that I'll look back and go, well, what could I have done better?
Hey, Ray, from time to time we've asked you about Quell Jackson and what he means, the intangibles, the mm-hmm. leadership. But as this season comes down to an end, can you comment on whether you think he has enough gas in the tank to perform at the high level that you need in this defense?
You know, DeQuell has been a coach's dream as far as leadership, intelligence. He demands a lot from himself and his teammates, and he really is a locker room coach. Some of the things he says after the game and at a halftime, to answer your question about does he have enough in the tank, I'm not sure exactly where we are snap count wise, but we're up there in total snaps. And would I like to take some snaps off of his body going forward? Yes, I would. But I'm sure, you know, he takes great care of himself. It's important to him. He's well-conditioned mentally and physically. And would I like to? Yeah, I would. Would I like to see him take more snaps? No. And as this business, it's a young man's business. And I'm sure he understands that. And he'll train and recuperate, I'm sure, appropriately for him. But, yeah, no, we want to get less snaps, less reps on our guys. Yes, going forward. Oh no, correct. Yeah, going. I was answering as in going forward next year. Yeah, we'd like to take reps off of our you know our older guys on our team, our veteran guys.
Staying on that position, the inside linebacker. I know you going into the season. I believe you called Craig your ace in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that he played this year? It seemed like you know you ask a lot of him, and I wanted to just get your sense of what kind of season he had.
With the exception of probably the Detroit game where he struggled against Reggie Bush, which is understandable, and then he had a knee injury, I think he did an adequate job for us. I really do. You know, we asked that guy that position to cover the top backs in the league, and we played Jamal Charles from Kansas City, Vereen from New England, Bush from, you know, you keep going down the list. Those are some outstanding backs that you know, whether one gets in the Pro Bowl or two of those guys get in the Pro Bowl, I probably think they would. He's got a tough task and job to handle because we demand and ask a lot of that position. And I think he did an adequate job, and hopefully next year he'll come back stronger off the injury. And I know he'll be smarter next year being a second year in our system.
Can you sum up the season that Barkevious Mingo had and what will you tell him to do in the offseason to get better for next year?
Two things I would move forward answering your second question first. Get stronger, you know, live in the weight room, which I'm sure he will, and also live in the playbook, which I know he will. We ask a lot of that position also. It's a player that has to be smart. He has to play the run, and that's the strength part of it. But he also has to drop into coverage. Answering your first question, I think it's been an up-and-down season for him. I think he started very good, very well, came off injury in the preseason and produced sacks. And I think when he understands the NFL game is not all either brute strength or speed, he needs a combination of that with smarts. He'll learn to look at his opponent, what works best, watch other players, how they attack them, and he'll become a better player just by maturation process.
You know, he said himself that he was asked, what would you do differently? And he said, get in a playbook sooner. So is he one of those rookies that it happens, you know, he maybe thought that his athleticism was going to carry him early?
Could be. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised to hear that. But I think he sees also what we're talking about, what it is to be a pro, to study. And I've made a point of emphasis with him is that, you know, you have to know what you do first. And once you understand what you do, it makes the game so much simpler because each week the team will change, whether you're facing a team that motions, that empty, and it's hard to go week to week to go, okay, you're playing New England, now you're playing Pittsburgh, now you're playing Cincinnati, now you're playing Minnesota. Those things change. They're variables. But what you do doesn't change, and that should be the easiest part for you is to know what you do, and that way you can just react. But I think right now in his process and usually in a rookie's process, is the first thing is he's got to think, okay, well, what do I do? And then they move on you or they motion, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, now what do I do, and what are they doing? And so it's a three-step process for him versus it just being, well, what are they doing? And pre-snap. And it's a lot to absorb and understand being an NFL player, what it is to be a pro, that the offense changes week to week, but there's great fundamental keys that they help you with. And I'm glad that he's aware of he needs to get in the book more.
When you first came here, we talked about the attack style mm-hmm. defense.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have one game left, but 39 sacks is only one more than last year when they ran the 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
Are the sacks what you thought they would be this year, or is that something that you really wish would have been a lot better?
Well, I wish it was more. And reason why, I think one of the reasons why is the style of offense we face where teams throw the ball, meaning quickly. I think teams understand that we do pressure. And when teams throw a 2-yard route, meaning get the ball out in the alley screens and the halfback screens and all that, it limits your ability to get sacks. Have we missed some sacks? Absolutely. That number probably should be 7 to 8 more. And there, I think there's 3 games where we didn't get any sacks. One was Pittsburgh. We missed a couple. And the last one was the Jets.
Just
a
couple more questions.
With the pass rush in general, you know, a lot of it needs to come from those outside linebackers. Mm-hmm. We've asked you about those mm-hmm. guys a ton. But I assume it's going to be the same guys next year, Paul and Barkevius and Jabal. Can those guys get to where they need to be to get the critical pressures and sacks in the fourth quarter, especially coming off a game where nobody hit the quarterback?
Nobody hit the quarterback, correct. Yes, they have to. Paul has shown that he can. Jabal has shown that he can. Mingo early showed that he can. So those three guys, between the three of them, need more. But also our interior guys, I know our little guys have had sacks. So, yeah, that's the number. That's the position. That's the area that we need to obviously get more production out of the sack category on.
On the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell, what have you seen from him in recent weeks? And do you think that he can be the next in a pretty long line of really good Steelers running backs?
He looks like it. A weird number probably for them was, I believe he's the first 100-yard runner in 23 games, something like that, which is odd to hear from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But he's in the mold of that guy. He's a tough downhill runner. But I think the added dimension for him is how much, you know, we're talking about this empty formation, how quick they throw the ball outside. I mean, he's become a favorite of Ben flanked out. You know, they just stand up and throw the ball to him, and it's a long handoff. But he is, I think, molding himself into what would be a Pittsburgh running back.
Ray, how do you expect your offseason to be? Do you think you'll interview for jobs? Do you expect to be back here next year?
I didn't hear the first part of it.
Your offseason. Do you expect to interview for jobs? Do you think you'll be back here?
I hope I'm back here. I hope they don't fire me. The off-season part, I really don't have any control over that. I don't know. You know, somebody asked a question last week about a list or something like that. I'm not aware of the list, but it's nice to be mentioned, and I think anybody, whether you're a player here trying to get into the Pro Bowl or get re-signed or whatever that may be, a coach trying to get promoted, I think that's the nature of the business. You want to move up. You want to get better. You want to be recognized, all those things. And that's part of that process that, sure, yes.
Do